This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Oral. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Lynch's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, is the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, was it? Bismarck wasn't
it? Lizmark.
Lizmark. No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big butts play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richter.
It's the most wonderful time of the
scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome to the holiday season here on the Place to Be Podcast, the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I'm your co-host, Just Rosero, coming at you live here on this Tuesday evening for some WCW action. We have a great crew with us here tonight, so let me go ahead and bring in the man who I hate the most in this world, but I love him all the same, and that is my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
I agree with how you're doing. Oh, wait. JR, always a pleasure. Welcome, Place to Be Nation. Oh, that wasn't funny. Sorry. Welcome to episode 348 of Place to Be Nation's Mothership. JR, how was your weekend?
It was fun. Was it this weekend you were here? It feels like years. Like Thanksgiving feels like it was already like 3 months ago.
I know. It really
like it was
does.
Less
yeah.
than a week ago.
It seriously was, yeah.
Busy week. Yeah, you were here for a whirlwind visit for a day.
That's right.
Hit the PC game, hit a bonehead. Yes. So you had the delay. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about the landslide for a moment?
It is a ridiculously delicious burger. Of Angus beef, cheddar, bacon, endless mac and cheese bites. It was a fine burger. And of course it was, and Matt from Boneheads did say that it'll take a hiatus, but he feels it will be a permanent menu item. So
I would
very happy about that.
So, yeah. So the December burger was announced today. I got some chili and cheddar cheese on this one and jalapeno. So it should be
yes,
pretty good.
It is named after, I think it's Breaking the Habit because I think the raffle is Linkin Park tickets this month. So I think so the burger is called Breaking the Habit. I don't know Linkin Park songs, so but look, it sounds pretty good.
All right, yeah, indeed.
So and speaking of Boneheads, quickly, JR, the Rotella, you know, who's now become a fucking teetotaler.
He goes to me,
what was with the pickle thing? I'm like, you'll just never get it. I said, you'll just never get
He's
it
the worst.
God, come alone next time. Have Dave come by himself.
Come stumbling in at 3 hours late.
Yeah,
and it bitches about a free shot that he got and then stumbles yeah. off. Like
and I think the best part was, as I have this wonderful burger in front of me. Oh, you're a little late. Yeah, we went to get something to eat.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. It's on my shit list. He's on the McGinn list.
He's on the McGinn list. So, but it was a pleasure, JR. We got to see Friars beat Yale on
Yale
Friday
State
night.
University.
And then Yale State. And then, the expected loss to Kentucky, but they didn't play bad.
No, they hung in for a half or so. I mean, to Kentucky's just really good, so hopefully it doesn't affect them. They go BC Friday, and hopefully they'll be back in the top 25.
They were rewarded. They went up two spots. They're 23.
No, they're not ranked. They went down. They still got votes, but they're down. But, Butler,
of course, what do you think told me that?
Well, yeah.
It wasn't a big game. They're 23 now.
I think Butler's 23, but the Big East has like six teams ranked and eight overall good votes or something like that. So
yeah.
All right, enough of that. We'll save that for our sports podcast. Of course, Extra Point and Sports Lounge. Just recording tonight as we speak.
Oh, very nice.
But we'll be delving into the world of WCW, heading back in time about 19 years, I guess. 19 years.
Yes.
Disgusting. And speaking of disgusting, we're going to bring in our very special guests here today. Here is the man who is the Angus beef to all of our burgers out there. That is Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how are you?
Hey, I thought you were going to introduce me first because you said the person you hate the most in life.
So. That's right. <yes. laughs> The Stephanie to my Triple H.
Right. Gentlemen, if I can be frank, Santa will be here in just a few weeks.
Very nice.
That's great.
We love all our fans. Jason Greenhouse, we love him as well, and he's stepping in tonight for Steve Willie. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. It is an honor and a privilege, how about that, to be with such a prestige group here tonight.
Yes, of course. Jason
and me. And I'm here too.
And Jordan and his son. Jason's usually with us for the Saturday Night's Main Event Rewind series, but pinch hitting tonight, Steve Willie has some family obligations. And, of course, could not join us, so Jay is in place of him. And, of course, the man who makes this all possible, the one, the only, the tremendously wonderful, likes every status on Facebook, Glenn Butler. Glenn, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm rising above hate lately, so
yeah.
I'm going to explore that.
Sure.
Keep exploring. We'll see how much you can find. All right. So, last time we left off with Nitro, where we closed out September. Now we're heading into October 2nd, 1995, episode 6. We are about a month into the show so far now. The show's run started in September. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of interesting episodes so far. Have the ongoing stuff with Lex Luger and Hulk Hogan. Got some new faces on the way here tonight. We've had some funny moments. And, of course, Scott will be tracking some different categories. We're going to be grading the shows. We're going to be tracking the match of the night, the most WCW moments of the night, the most random appearance, and the most mid-90s person of each episode. So we'll be tracking those as we go. So is everyone queued up here to start?
Yes. I'm looking at some buildings.
All right. Jay Greenhouse will be our audio man. He'll keep us abreast of what's going on in the world of commentary and interviews. And with that, I'll count us in and we'll get going. So with 3, 2, 1. With our customary burning building opening, as always, get used to it. Hulk Hogan, ripping his shirt.
We're about thinking October 2nd, I think we're a good 3 weeks away from Halloween Havoc. So there's plenty of build still to come before we get to our next WCW pay-per-view.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Of course, we'll be talking about the monster trucks soon.
So, Greeny, while we're opening up here, tell us about, and actually just to see where we're at, we are in Denver, Colorado, home of the Mile High Altitude.
Mm-hmm.
Greeny, since you're new to the Nitro rewatches here, what's your WCW fan history? When were you watching? Were you a fan at all during this time?
Yeah, I started watching immediately when it first started, just to see what it was all about. I mean, I've been a WWE guy, you know, all throughout my entire life. At this time, there were a bunch of guys showing up in WCW, such as Sabu and a couple of people we have here tonight. So I was kind of, I was really anxious on who else was going to show up from week to week. So, you know, I would tune in mainly during commercials during Raw. And then I'm not sure if they were showing the replays at like 11 o'clock yet on TNT.
I think
TNT.
They were. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that started immediately.
You know, I was watching, but I wasn't a devoted fan yet.
All right, we open up with our usual commentary trio. Mongo got some weird googly eyes going on Pepe here.
The googly eyes on Pepe.
A little early for Halloween. Ric Flair storms the set, pissed off about something or other. Probably Arn Anderson, I'm guessing.
He's complaining about Arn.
It's still weird to see WCW Ric Flair with short hair to me. You just always picture him as the longer-haired version, I guess.
Most of this 95 run in WCW just guys looked odd as I've been watching the pay-per-views. It just seems everybody looks just different than what they should. Even Arn looked kind of off. But Bobby looks like Bobby. So that never changed. Wow. Seen a little recap from last week with Savage and Flair, or of Luger.
Refresh us. What did happen last week?
I think it's a whole. It's a whole. You know, whose side Luger on? Is he with the Dungeon of Doom?
I think he fought. Did he fight Meng?
Yeah, he fought me. Oh, yeah, that was a long... Wasn't that a very long match?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Zodiac
arrest.
Now, to this point, I don't think the Giant has actually wrestled a match yet. I think he obviously was.
I think his first match may have been with the monster truck stuff, right?
Yep. I believe his first match was the title match with Hogan at Halloween Havoc.
Hasn't come yet. The monster truck stuff has come up. So.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it's amazing the shelf life that Savage had in his run at WCW. Because, again, watching through this whole stretch when they started really getting on TV, he just took beating after beating after beating. Nitros, pay-per-views. I mean, he just got the hell kicked out of him almost every week in some capacity. It's amazing. Even as a heel, he probably thought he wouldn't get it as much, and he got beat up most as a heel, too. So. Recapping this most of last week. Did Luger ever run to the ring? I seriously doubt it. Didn't matter what side he was on. Just take your time.
They'll still be there. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Not going anywhere.
Yeah, baby.
I like to do when he comes out. It looks like he's like checking his tights, like to make sure he's looking good. Like you can picture him stopping at a mirror just before coming out.
Yes.
You know? Like,
forgetting that he's not in the WWE anymore and he's no longer
the
narcissist.
Wait,
I'm
not the narcissist. Take my saran wrap or my tinfoil off.
I see my tinfoil robe. You know, I missed, because we always talk about things like cool tights and stuff. Luger had a nice tights boots ensemble in his early NWA years, red and pink and green and blue. And I felt like now he's just
always
pretty
black.
Much black every week.
Yeah. Always
so,
black.
So unoriginal, Lex.
Yeah, I don't think he changes it at all.
I don't think so either. Look, he's wearing black this week too.
I really think it's his whole rod he has black on during this.
I don't think I think he goes to long tights like towards the tail end, like 99, 2000. I think he goes to long tights.
I think it's jeans, honestly.
Yeah. So he's obviously here for something, promo or match. Looks like he didn't shave either. He looked at everyone with such disdain when he high-fived people, like, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah, he really did.
You assholes. It just seemed like he just never wanted to high-five anybody.
It's kind of crazy how big of a babyface he ended up being in, like, 97 or so, because here, I mean, I guess he's supposed to be, is he a babyface or not, but, man, he's just not likable. But in 97, man, behind Sting, he was the number two guy, and he was really hot for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, this must be is this a match?
Yeah, it looks like we're getting Savage and Luger to start.
Wow, there's terrible Macho Man sign, too. Like, I don't know how that guy was proud of his artwork.
Yeah. And it looks like his career is on the line in this match. It is a Luger career match. So, big time here.
Must be the kind of kid who got a trophy for everything, Jordan. Winning, losing.
Mm-hmm.
Pathetic art.
Someone there still has a Hulk Hogan wrestling buddy.
You talking about me, Glenn? Because I have one right next to me on the couch.
You could definitely tell at this point that the Hogan merchandise was starting to wane a little bit. You didn't see as much Hogan stuff as you did almost like a year earlier to this point.
I don't know. There's a lot of them right
in
the front
row
tonight,
with this
though.
Thing.
Yeah.
You got that one guy in the front row and some of those like posing. Look at that clown with a mask. And there's a couple of foam Hogans, but. You see a lot of those Savage hats. I think he definitely overtook Hogan in the popularity department.
Speaking of Savage, I think we should point out that we have the Randy Savage of many colors tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some of the most bizarre tights I've ever seen. Wonder how long this match goes. I bet you this is a pretty solid...
Seconds behind you. Macho just threw his hat off where I'm at. So.
Okay, yeah, you're probably about 7 seconds behind. Okay, you're not that far off.
Bischoff just pointed out that it's only Luger's career that's at stake tonight, not Savage's.
Well, now, why would Lex even agree to that? That just makes him seem like an idiot, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. How bright is Lex supposed to be?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, so I think we've talked about this on a past watch that they haven't gotten to the fire on the outside padding yet. That probably didn't come till 90. They probably didn't do a lot of Nitro bells and whistles till 96 Oh, there are a couple of people in the front row. They must have moved people up because I feel like the only people wearing Hogan stuff are in the front row.
Yeah, I was noticing that too. There's a lot of yellow in the front row, and you can't see it as much, but on the camera side, when they zoom out and show the whole crowd, there's a lot of people in the front row with Hogan shirts, tank tops.
Yeah, they might have comped those out.
Yeah, I think they definitely did. And here we are pumping up Halloween Havoc, and they have confirmed, based on the graphics, that the monster truck thing will happen, so that's already being pumped up. The 29th, so we're a good month away. So there's a full month of Nitros to...
And Kamala's going to be there. Here, take my 1995.
Pretty good crowd in Denver.
That's a hell of a selling point in 1995. Like, Kamala will be on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Will he be bowling? That might get my money, actually.
Well, God, he was in the main event of the last show, right?
Yeah.
That's right. He did show up in the main event, and he fell on. Oh no, that was Shark, right? Who fell on the legs. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Notice in the Halloween Havoc ad, they still have that clip of Hogan hitting Vader. I'm so used to like the streamlined product they have now, where if somebody leaves the company, they are gone from the video packages.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
erased from history.
Which, and I think the reason they would keep him in back then is because, you know, Vader going to WWE, well, let's show our guys beating him up to make him look weak, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Pretty aggressive match here to start, huh? They're mm-hmm. on the floor trying to suplex each other.
Yeah. A little bit of a rude awakening there from old Lex.
He's been studying his cocky, arrogant heels.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Rude. Really big match to open the show. I know we mentioned it earlier, kind of being surprised that they were out here, but a big deal, I think. And again, another salvo by Bischoff showing that they're going to be serious with Nitro and with all this, that they're going to not waste any time and put on a legitimate product with big time matches. So wasting no time out of the gate.
Well, it had to probably be the first time these two ever wrestled each other, huh? Well, maybe when Luger was in WWF.
I'm thinking when he was Narcissist, they must have had a match on, at least on a house show or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like early 93.
Yeah. Because Savage was still fairly active up until like WrestleMania 9. So there's a good chance in those 3 months. I mean, maybe not. I don't know how much Luger wrestled right away. I do know they'll get well acquainted with each other now, though.
Yeah.
Savage's tights, where do we rank these on the Savage? Maybe we should have the Savage scale for his tights. Not as wild as the past few episodes we've seen with all the tassels. He's, well, still a lot on the boots, but...
They almost look like...
just wild in a different way.
Yes.
Yeah. They almost look like the background of the Halloween Havoc ads.
Yeah. Subliminal messaging.
They look like a Trapper Keeper I had in the ninth grade.
The ninth grade, Greeny, when you were in the 90s?
Yeah, man.
Listen to 90s music?
Absolutely.
Juicy.
Oh. I see where you're going.
We knew that was coming.
Quite the juicy backslide.
It was not a
Luger's,
for Randy
Luger's
Savage.
First match was on January 25th at a Superstars taping in 1993 against Larry Ludden.
Mm.
So we'll see as I'll keep looking through 93.
Okay.
Our good friend Graham Cawthon in the history of WWE.com and see if he did.
Larry Ludden.
See if he took on Savage at some point. He fought Virgil there.
Do we know what was going on Raw tonight? I mean, they got a big time matchup here. What were they up against?
October 95.
Well, I will take a look since I'm on the history of WWE. After I find any Luger Savage matches, I shall let you know. A lot of Brett Luger. He fought Brett a lot in February.
So apparently, I mean, this match is the most hard-hitting, challenging 8-minute match of all time because they are both dead right now, selling in the.
JR, do you remember a jobber? Do you remember a jobber back in the day named Jim Italy?
I do not. That's related to Jimmy Marco.
That's right.
WCW refs. I feel like they were more well-known, like name-wise. Yes. I don't know if it's because they called them out more or they only had. It seems like it's only like two or three referees. Because I feel like they call every match. It's either Randy Anderson, Nick Patrick, or Mark Curtis. And then later on, Mickey J. I feel like those are like the four that you know. Yeah.
The only person I remember that used to call out refs a lot in WWE was Jesse.
Yeah.
Especially Joey Morella when he was calling a match with Gorilla.
Yep.
Every shitty move that Jesse can call about Joey Morella, he would point out to Gorilla.
And Gorilla would do it too. If you watch a lot of those house shows or like primetime matches where they have time to fill talking, he would always bitch out the refs.
Yeah, a lot of, oh, come
Frankie
on,
Sparta.
Yeah.
He would always rip on him. There was one other WCW ref. I'm drawing a blank on his name now. I've seen a lot of them. Scott, I know you're watching the early 90s ones. What's that guy's name with the... Shit. Mike. No. Yeah, Mike. I'll say Mike Adams. It's something like that. What the hell is his
name? He stopped.
Mike Atkins. Mike Atkins.
Yeah, he stopped by like 94. Lately, it seems like pay-per-views, it's been Patrick or I almost called him Squiggy. The hell was Randy Anderson's nickname?
Pee-wee.
It was either him, Nick Patrick.
Spunky?
Spunky Squiggy. Or Squiggy.
And that's a Randy Anderson bump right there. Had Curtis started yet, or does he come in 96?
I think
Mark Curtis was awesome to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he comes in 96 because, I mean, he's not even on the... You would think he'd be a pay-per-view ref, and I haven't seen him on pay-per-view yet.
Yeah, he might be. So, I mean, are literally the only two refs on the payroll are Randy Anderson
and
Nick Patrick.
Anderson
right
and Nick Patrick.
Savage just a big elbow, goes for the cover, but Anderson's down. So we get a visual pin here for Savage.
Visual pin, and here's the giant to ruin everything.
Of course. Do you guys think it's interesting, though, that they had Savage get a pin on Luger? Like, in a quick TV 10-minute match, he hits him with the elbow and has him pinned if the ref wasn't down? And pretty surprising to me.
Mm.
Yeah, but not surprising in a WCW way, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, right away, their booking was just all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm through.
In a fun way, though, you know, Greeny?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all over the place in a fun way. It's just like, it's madness. It's a template that Dodiev would take in late 96, early 97, when that main event scene gets really fun, where you just have a bunch of guys at the top, all kind of battling and jockeying,
and even the
champion doesn't have
that clear edge.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you just have like that whole, like we'll see it in early 97 with WWF, we talked about all the time. You had Shawn, Brett, you know, Austin, Sid, Taker, all these guys that are on even footing. And I feel like here we have Hogan, Sting, Savage, Luger, the Dungeon of Doom, John, like all these guys are kind of in the mix on the top.
I would say if anybody is booked stronger, it probably is the Giant.
Yeah, he has looked pretty good these few weeks. You've seen him now. Luger, so Giant laid out Savage. Luger hoist Savage in the torture rack, and it looks like we're going to get a victory for Luger here. Yep, Randy Anderson calls to the bell. Mm-hmm. So just adding fuel to that fire that Luger's with the Dungeon of Doom.
So I have an answer for you. On the June 15th, 1993 Superstars taping in Huntington, West Virginia, Lex Luger fought Randy Savage to a double disqualification.
That must have been a dark match, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I don't think that aired on TV.
Let me see if he fought Savage anymore.
I can't imagine much more because Luger turned in July, and that would have been it. I doubt they had any face-to-face matches.
Well, still in June.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus
The Body Slam
on Saturday night.
There's where he slammed.
If you want to read more about Duggan and Big Boss Man, you can read our Royal Rumble 1990 Vintage Vault Refresh coming this week, Glenn. What a segue.
Whenever they show these Saturday night ads, I am begging them to put names on the screen, because anyone who wasn't in the WWF, I just don't know.
Well, he was Big Bubba at that point, not Big Boss Man, just so you know.
Right. Well, that was...
You have to be snarky about it, Glenn. I'm just letting you know, so you know when you're in other conversations, if it comes up, you'll know.
Thanks, Jushin.
Uh-oh.
They should take this mask off. It's kind of tough to talk with it on.
Wow, it's not a lot of wrestling in the summer of 93 for Luger. Looks like that might have been the one match.
Back at the commentary table here, Green, anything going on of importance?
They were just recapping what just happened.
And Bobby's doing some kind of weird dance.
Bobby's dancing like every old lady at a wedding.
Yeah, what the hell is he doing? You think September by Earth, Wind, and Fire was on right there the way he
Ah! This is a great match, and I was here for this. I was here, JR, this match is right up your alley. And I watched this match live because it was at the New Haven Coliseum in September of 93, the same night Razor won the vacant IC title. Luger and Savage against Ludwig Borga and Yoko.
There you go. Dream match.
What's that for a tag match right there, huh?
Speaking of wedding dancing, here comes the Disco Inferno.
There we go. All right. Let's take a look and see what was going on in October.
And Disco's music just stopped. And...
Eddie coming out. So is Disco not wrestling? Was he just coming to dance? Is that why?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I expect one dance to that greenie in Philadelphia. In
All right. Now, if this is October 2nd, according to Graham, I don't see a Raw here. Apparently, there was a USWA card in Memphis. PG-13 defeated the Smoking Guns via DQ, but I don't see a Raw here.
Was it taped the week before, maybe?
Maybe. Let's see. Yes.
You could have also been dancing to this.
Here we go. 10-2-95. Here we go. All right. Here's what happened on Raw that night. During the duration of the show, a hotline number was given to call in and vote whether or not O.J. Simpson was truly not guilty. The final verdict was not guilty 51, guilty 49. Razor Ramon defeated the 1-2-3 Kid. Razor originally won the match with a clothesline, but the Kid demanded the bout continue. Razor pinned the Kid a second time by catching him coming off the top ropes and hitting a powerbomb again. The Kid wanted the match to continue. Razor pinned him again with an inside cradle. He kept wanting to go, but his body gave out, and he and Razor reconciled.
All right, let's take a break from that for 1 minute. So we have Eddie Guerrero taking on Dean Malenko here on Nitro. Now, have we seen either of these guys yet? I feel like we've seen Eddie, right?
Eddie was on... I was misremembering. Sorry.
We definitely have not seen Malenko.
I know that, yeah.
We've definitely not seen Dean.
This might be their debuts. I guess they're going back to... That past weekend, Saturday night, and they were showing Eddie's debut
against me
against Duschenberger. Duschenberger, yeah.
Your hair was so much longer then.
It was flowing. It was the 90s, you know, devil may care attitudes.
Speaking of, we were talking about tights earlier. I've always thought Eddie's white and red tights were the coolest.
There was one thing I hated babyface Eddie as a kid watching this because I hated how he used to always talk to the camera. And it was like such a geek. He'd be like, WCW number one, man. Mm-hmm. it was like so stupid. Like, I hated it at this time. I'm like, oh my God, he's so fucking annoying with always talking to the camera and putting over the company. He seemed like such a loser at the time. And then he'd become my favorite.
Let's see.
What do we like?
Just around that Raw up, Hunter Hearst Helmsley defeated Barry Horowitz. PG-13 defeated Al Brown and Sonny Rogers. And finally, Bret Hart defeated Jean-Pierre Lafitte via submission with the sharpshooter after avoiding the cannonball and hitting a back suplex. After the bout, Hart attacked Jerry Lawler at ringside until Isaac Yankum jumped Hart from behind, hitting the DDS. Moments thereafter, Gorilla Monsoon ordered a steel cage match, pitting Bret against Lawler. And that, of course, would be that memorable Raw where Lawler would go up on that little cage, right? He'd be hoisted on the little cage, and we'll talk about that on the next. I'm sure that was the following week. So anyway, the next week on Raw was going to be a Bret Jean-Pierre Lafitte cage match.
All right, let's talk about the match at hand. What do we feel about Dean Malenko's black and pink trunks with the pink?
Kind of cool.
I like them. Cool. He wore them in ECW as well.
How many times have they fought in ECW?
Three
on TV. I don't know how many house shows they were doing at the time. But they had that 2 out of 3 falls match. They had the outdoor match that they had at the Orange County Fairgrounds in Middletown, New York, that a couple of friends of mine went to, which I think that was the night that Eddie won the TV belt from Malenko, and then they had a third match, which was their debut, spring of 95 at some point. And then they also had some tag matches.
Right.
I think it was them two teaming up against Benoit and Taz, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
And now we see a white limo coming in. I'm guessing it's Hulk Hogan since Jimmy Hart's frantically banging on the window. And it is. With his neck brace on. We cut away from Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko to see Hulk Hogan in a neck brace. Completely now. Not even a split screen anymore. We're completely cut away. Jordan, did you have any knowledge of Eddie and Dean before seeing him on here?
No, not really. Outside of magazines, because I know they were in ECW at the before this, but I didn't get ECW in my area until like mid '97. And of course, I didn't watch any Japan until, you know, I got online and started trading tapes and stuff. So I knew who they were. I knew Eddie Guerrero's name more than Dean Malenko's from magazines, but I don't think I'd ever seen them wrestle before.
Yeah, I think I'm the same place. I think I knew him just from PWI and whatnot.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite on the internet or anything yet either. So.
And I knew Chris. I remember reading a lot about Chris Benoit.
Yes.
Which is what I thought his name was.
Chris Benoit.
I definitely did. Well, because Benoit Benjamin was a basketball player. So that, yep. I just assumed that's who he was, you know.
So according to Graham,
I probably assumed he was black too, I guess, based on that.
To back up what you were saying, Greeny, earlier, according to Graham, their first meeting, Dean and Eddie's, was at Hostile City Showdown in April. That's the 30-minute draw that's on Eddie's DVD. Mm-hmm. So they fought in April, and then 2, 3, and I'll just keep counting. Here's a tag. That's not good. 30-minute draw. Here's where Dean finally beat Eddie in Tampa. That's the 8th time. That's on the Wrestling Highest Flyers DVD. So they definitely fought a lot in 95. At least 9 times. Here's where Eddie beat Dean back in. Oh, this is your match, Greeny. You said the Orange County Fairgrounds?
Yeah.
July 28th. Probably. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you remember the date by heart, but yeah,
that's Eddie with it. All right, so back to this match
that
here.
Sounds right.
So they spill it to the floor, brawl a little bit, and Eddie just hit an awesome, just like a swan dive kind of cross body off the top rope all the way into the aisle where he crashed into Dean.
And completely cleared the mats they have by the ring.
Yeah, mm-hmm. pretty awesome spot. Made the best spot in Nitro history so far. I mean, I know it's a limited sample size, but
I think we have our first nominee for most 90s person in the crowd. The guy sitting to the right of Fat Hogan fan in the front row over here with the black shirt on and the
that weird looking hairdo.
Yeah.
That he's obviously like, scratching because he hasn't washed it.
Probably. He's got a ponytail, but also shaved underneath. Yeah.
Got it.
All right. He's definitely our leader. Nick now, Patrick.
Greeny calls him Fat Hogan fan. I'm wondering, what is that jacket? It looks like it could be like crushed velvet that he's wearing. It just.
And the guy. Ugh.
Better than black velvet.
And the guy next to him's got one of those terrible Hogan foam things, too. Way too many of those.
Scott, I feel like you should mark down the refs in all these matches going forward. I'm really curious if anyone else besides Nick Patrick and
those Hogan shirt tattoo have been comp because that guy's the shirt that he's wearing is like
on him. Looks like a washcloth.
It's about as tight as Morty Seinfeld's number one bad shirt.
Eddie Guerrero just picked up the win.
It was a cool little finish too.
Yeah.
Kind of flipped him and then cradled him.
Yeah, we definitely didn't give this match its due. It was very good.
You know what's cool about this match? We're spending all this time talking about their ECW history. It played off their ECW history, you know, because like Dean gets the knees up for the frog splash.
Right.
Like,
yeah, they knew each other well.
Know each other, yeah.
Did they? I don't know, Greeny, if you heard any of it. I know we were talking a lot, but did they mention that they've been rivals elsewhere before?
Yeah, at the beginning of the match, Bischoff said something. He didn't mention ECW. He said Japan.
Mm. Yeah, he would never mention ECW on TV.
No.
Absolutely not.
Unless they had a live show and he was giving away their spoilers.
Yes. Wow, that guy's huge. There is no way that he bought... If he bought that shirt, then he's an idiot. I mean, good grief.
Been doing a lot of cardio. I think I can fit into this.
Well, sometimes trying to buy shirts at these live events is kind of a dicey proposition in terms of what they'll actually have.
Yeah, I mean, you could be trying to buy an Ultimate Warrior one and end up with a Usos shirt.
The Usos. Or think you're going to be riding the wave of popularity with your Batista shirt, you know?
That's right. He was reminiscing about that hit piece he did after the Rumble on Dan O'Brien about Batista earlier today. He subscribes to the Jordan Duncan theory, Roger Morissette, you know, one and done.
Oh, yeah?
Duncan's got a few pieces coming though, right?
These, you know what, Greeny,
the
more you think about it,
works.
Yeah, the more they got to be comps because a lot of them have like they're wearing them over polo shirts and
right, and you get all those foam.
Those are all comped right there. That whole set. And look at they're all concentrated in that one corner.
Yeah,
on the camera side.
Oh yeah, definitely comp city right there.
There was a guy who just held up his foam Hogan and then wiped his pit with a towel.
It looks like a young JBL with the shirt and tie in the corner.
Oh, that's Hulk's, tremendous.
Hulk is very serious.
Very well. He's got a broken neck, man. You're lucky he's even out here gracing you with his presence for all these fans that were forced memorabilia upon them.
He said he was at the hospital earlier in the day seeing a little friend of his who was getting a double lung transplant, probably some Make-A-Wish type thing, or he could be kayfabing it. Who knows? Who knows with Hogan?
Now, brother.
Glenn, since you are the resident Hulkamaniac, are you disappointed that is not a red and yellow neck brace?
Yes. Of course I am.
Huge missed opportunity.
They should be making red and yellow neck braces and selling them or giving them to people in the front row.
Yes. Oh my God, everybody in Denver has a broken neck.
The giant choke slammed all these Hulkamaniacs, brother.
Exactly.
I mean, look at all these guys are wearing Hogan shirts. They all got like, this is dreadful. I mean, wow. That looks like Cena's dad.
Jimmy Hart feels so neutered in this role. I'm really looking forward to the turn that's coming for him.
Mm. Oh.
That's a really short man right there, that bald guy.
Well, this guy, they didn't give him a shirt.
Yeah. Where's my free shirt?
I don't know. I think I saw a young Glenn Butler when he walked by. I got the glasses and the Hulkamania shirt on.
How many of these shows did I go to?
You're in all of them, Glenn Butler.
You followed everybody.
Oh, nice little spot there. Is that Sullivan? Dressed like a woman?
Yeah.
Like an old woman. He threw powder in Hogan's eyes and I'll beat him with a cane.
Sullivan in a babushka?
It's very hard in my country.
Was there anybody who
I think he'd give up the guys right now. He's still got the Afghan like wrapped around his face.
Was there anybody who was better at overdoing their character than Beefcake when he was Zodiac?
No.
I mean, he was like a lunatic. So nobody cared.
Beefcake's all coked up, brother. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I think it'd be terrible. He's on the turnbuckle already celebrating the beatdown that's coming.
Yeah, that hasn't even happened.
They should show previously on Nitro and show like the Dungeon of Doom discussing that plan. Like Kevin Sullivan, like, no, I'm going to wear this Afghan. And Hogan's going to walk by me, you guys.
And I'm just
tell you
say,
what we're going to do, brother.
Oh, and here's the infamous shaving of the mustache.
Oh, no.
That's twist unforgivable. Puts Hogan down.
What movie was he doing at this moment?
Or was it Thunder Mountain or whatever? Devil's Mountain? No, Thunder Paradise is done.
He shaved him down to a blonde Hitler stash.
No, I just
look at this fucking Nazi.
Blonde Nazi you are. You summon a bitch.
Who is that? The American male trying to save him?
Yeah. two clowns.
That is an awful mustache. Be very awkward mustache ride later for anyone that.
Oh my gosh!
God, these two idiots.
Look at this. Hogan's only friends are here.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say the same. Sullivan should have just done a kayfabe. Look at this, Hogan. Your only friends are these guys.
I do like the green nasty shirts though.
Yeah, they are pretty cool. Remember when they wore? I think they were when they were baby faces. They had red. They had like red tinted ones at one point. They were really cool.
I will say this. For as goofy as the Dungeon of Doom is, they've really done a pretty good job making them look pretty badass since we started watching these nitros. I mean, other than when Shark fell on... Whose legs was it? Was it Arn's? No. Was it Sullivan? Who the hell got pinned when Tenta fell on their legs? Savage won the match, I remember.
I think it was Savage in Arn, wasn't it?
Was it Arn or Sullivan? It might have been Sullivan, actually.
Is this supposed to be some kind of inside rib that... that Zodiac has scissors.
I was just thinking that.
Inside rib going on.
A little strutting and cutting.
Hogan, like we mentioned there, laid out now. Neck had been snapped, twisted by the giant, and his mustache
shaved. So this medic has a big hole underneath
his armpit. Look at that. That is terrible. Oh, no, what's the best thing, cameraman? Show a close-up of it.
Yeah, what a slob, though. You show up on TV like that.
Oh, God.
Is that a WCW moment?
Yes, right there. Poor Hogan will not make it to Movember with his mustache.
The medic's wardrobe malfunction.
These graphics are absurd, though. The monster trucks morphing into Hogan and Giant.
That medic was actually cutting that. Go ahead.
That morphing is so 90s.
I know, right? This whole promo is. It's Halloween. Look at these ghouls.
Ghouls. I did love the Halloween Havoc logo, though. It was always really cool. Always enjoyed it. Sadly, there hasn't been a good Halloween Havoc at this point since 90, probably. Well, 92 wasn't that bad.
So it wasn't 94, was okay, wasn't it?
94's main event was good with Hogan and Flair.
Oh, the cage. That's true, in Detroit. Yeah, that wasn't bad. 93.
We had a good Halloween Havoc in a year.
In a whole year.
Nearly a year.
The most recent one was the best, so it's been a while.
I forgot about the Hogan Flair match.
We just watched it. It was actually about a year ago, wasn't it? When did we do those shows with Will? January?
Yeah. And when did I watch it? I must have watched it a couple weeks ago. Yeah. There's Flair.
Oh, that's even worse. I forget you watched it.
I agree
it
with you. I know. I don't know why I totally.
I know you agree with me. You always do. Here comes Ric Flair for our main event.
Thank you.
Are you jotting down these referees? I want to keep track for no one. So we've had Randy Anderson and our Nick Patrick twice in a row. So. Oh, Flair and Arn. I didn't even realize
Arn's
that was
already in the ring. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's he fighting? Holy shit, Arn. So, fall ball rematch. Flair's banana yellow.
So, yeah, no wonder there was such a contrast when it's Flair versus Arn Anderson against Bret Hart versus Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Hey, they had good matches, Bret and Jean-Pierre Lafitte. How dare you?
I'm sure they did, but
Bret and Isaac Yankum, maybe.
Well, jeez.
Hit the DDS finisher. Scott, I want to task you with going back to the first six that we, or four, however it is, the many that we've watched so far, and just write down the referees for me.
Okay.
I've been trying to read that sign all night, but no one will actually hold it up. WCW is what?
Awesome.
Something in the Rockies? Is that what
you're talking about? Number one. Okay. And then there is something else after
that's going to be a planted sign, too. Who the hell makes that sign?
Yeah. Well, I don't really like a wrestler. I just like the WCW as a whole.
Yeah, the whole thing is just number one. Number one in the Rockies.
Yeah. Well, that 90s fan in the black t-shirt you're talking about has a WCW Rocks sign.
Oh, God. Plants. That might have to be honestly, also most not WCW thing is all the planted merchandise and signs.
It's so obvious, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looking at the card for the year before's Halloween Havoc, other than the debut of I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac theme song, the rest of the card was crap except the main event. So that was right. We rematch from Fall Brawl. That was actually a great match, the Flair Arn match from Fall Brawl. That was a very good match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do enjoy Enforcer written in script across Arn's ass on these tights.
He had those for a while.
Who's that guy? He's the Enforcer.
Enforcer.
Flair's got quite the lump on his lower back.
Could be a staph infection.
Well, then he'd be dead because he had it for about 20 years.
Take an E-Pack, get in the ring.
Z-Pack that sucker.
Crap those critters. Trunks. Yeah.
Out to the floor. Flair stalking Arn.
Very mat heavy with this show. A lot of good matches. Not much fluff.
Yeah, no, it's been a really quick show.
Yeah, even the Hogan stuff was pretty good.
Yeah,
I will say that I think Nitro formatted things better early on than Raw.
Yeah,
I feel like Raw still had a lot of.
I feel like Raw changed week to week. Those early ones we've been watching. If 1 week we'll have long matches, and next week we'll have a long interview, different guys. It still doesn't seem to be much of a flow to the Raws that we've been watching here in 93.
I agree. Who's that guy? Sit down.
Got the woman in the second row with the cut
don't wash jeans with the cutout kneecaps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah.
Arn backdrops Flair on the floor.
And there's a baby in the front row, too.
Of course.
Or is it Kevin Sullivan?
Or is that baby a plant?
Well, I guess in fairness, it is early in Colorado when this was airing. It's probably like 6 o'clock, so I guess we weren't chastised for having the child.
Another Hulkster shirt that didn't fit. Good God. Here, everybody wear these youth mediums.
I believe those are smediums.
Smediums.
This is for all my kids, brother.
Double lung transplant. They had no other organs. brother.
Ooh, Bischoff just congratulated the Seattle Mariners on winning their wild card game. Oh.
Ooh. Oh, that was the you mean the one game playoff.
That was the wild card game against the Yankees at the Kingdom.
Was it, or was it the one game play-in?
No, I think this is the one game play-in against the Angels. I think Bischoff's just stupid.
Well, no, it could have been that game five, I think, against the Yankees. Did he didn't say who they beat?
No, no.
I shall look it up, don't worry.
I'm pretty sure that was the date on this that we're watching.
If it's the second, it could have been the play-in game.
I think it was a play-in game against the Angels. Because that was a Sunday night when the Yankees lost game five.
Right, right.
I definitely remember that being a Sunday. I think this is the night that Randy Johnson shut down the Angels. I think Bischoff's just dumb.
That's not nice. Well, no, it's still a wild card play-in.
That was more like a one-game playoff, I suppose. No, well, it wasn't a wild card. It was for the division.
Whatever.
Well, I just have flashbacks to Griffey rounding third and the Yankees being eliminated that year, but that wasn't it.
Monday, October 2nd, Seattle defeated the Angels 9-1.
Yeah.
The ALDS would start the next night and play the next two games. So they played the last day off is September 25th, and they played right through October 4th. The Mariners. And they lost a bunch of them.
Well, the Yankees, game two was that game that went, what, 16 innings, right? Or 15 innings?
The innings, and the Yankees won 7-5.
Yep, that was the Leyritz homer. That was when Mattingly homer, and the place went absolutely crazy. And then they lost three in a row.
Yeah, we know.
I believe Jimmy Key started the game for the Yankees.
Which one, game two?
Yeah.
Do you know who got the win?
Ooh.
It was in the bullpen in 95.
Pettit started.
Pettit did start, okay. I'm going to say Ramiro Mendoza.
It was actually a guy called Mariano Rivera.
Was it?
Got the win.
I don't think Mendoza was on the roster yet, Greeny. I don't know if he made the roster. Was he even on the roster in 95? Seems kind of young, or seems kind of far back. Maybe. Oh, maybe you're right.
I think he was in 96, so it wasn't by much if he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, match still going on. Flair's got the figure four on
here. Well, I mean, this match is very good, but it just seems pretty much the same as their match at Fall Brawl. There's not much variety. Pretty much back and forth, similar.
Mendoza did not play for the 95 Yankees.
He was a referee in WCW at the time.
Yes.
Come on, Ramiro Mendoza, baby.
Flair getting on the top turnbuckle there. While Arn is outside. Why do you think? I know we talked about this in a previous episode. I wonder why they got rid of that like light up apron thing.
Yeah, must have been too expensive.
Yeah, must have been
too expensive. Yeah,
it's kind of an interesting kind of darker apron with like the it was almost like a shadow.
Yeah.
Ooh, backdrop by Flair. Nick Patrick's mullet is in prime form tonight.
It sure is.
I think he might be the one. I think that's we don't have a mullet award. Steve Willey's not here anyway.
I
think it's interesting that they gave this match the main event spot instead of Luger and Savage, considering this one they just had on pay-per-view like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a career-ending thing, you'd think that's a main event kind of stipulation. Yeah.
Unless maybe they just knew this would be the better match.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
Well, we'll see. Maybe there's an angle that closes the show here.
Yeah, I was just saying, we still have a few minutes to go, so.
Yeah, maybe we haven't seen the last of the Giant.
Right. He's only chokeslammed 8 people tonight so far.
Arn came off the middle. Flair caught him with a nice chop. I thought Arn sold that pretty well. Back to the figure four. Nick Patrick, that hair.
Yeah.
And, oh, Brian Pillman will be the guy interfering.
Okay.
So did Arn give up?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Did Arn give up, or did Patrick call for the bell when he saw Pillman? It seemed like Arn gave up.
I think so. Without hearing it, going into the button on the network, it says Ric Flair beats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did.
All right, so Pillman with a nice... So Flair had the figure four on Arn, Pillman splashed him off the top, but now they're chopping the crap out of each other. Really aggressive stuff from Pillman here. Pretty cool.
Yeah. He was definitely turning the corner. Getting a little out of control. So weird seeing Arn, seeing like Flair get beat up. Other horsemen. So weird. This whole couple months was just so bizarre in that aspect.
How bizarre? It's a song from the 1990s by OMC.
That's right.
I believe it's coming this week in the 90s tournament.
I don't believe the word juicy is in the lyrics, though. Only one song with juicy in the lyrics.
Wait till later when you get to cast 5 votes or juicy for each of us.
Although Flair is wishing this was all a dream.
Yes. Yeah. It'd be a lot of... So, I mean, this we'll get to the grade in a moment, but I really liked this episode. A lot of big angles, a lot of good matches. No waste of time at all.
No, a lot of star power, too.
One of those iconic pictures of there, Pillman laughing and doing the four fingers up close. And we out. Oh, no. Never mind. Wait. Sorry, we're back. Take out.
Yeah, I've noticed that's something that they've done so far on the Nitros is it looks like the show ends and then, oh, it's not quite over.
It's time for the epilogue.
It's almost like the old Saturday Night's Main Events where they always came back for that last, like, trying to squeeze that last break in at, 12:50, 8 a.m. They come back for 25 seconds.
Jesse would put over all the heels and, they'd end.
And what did we learn today?
Yes.
Hate hillbillies.
Not on the electric company.
What do you think they did with Pepe in the... What do you think? Hey, Mongo stuck it in his coat.
I think he's sitting under the table.
So WCW Commissioner Nick Bockwinkel, because of what happened this week, is signing a steel cage match between Ric Flair and Arn Anderson for next week.
Ooh.
Hey, we should watch that.
You know, maybe we'll watch it now.
Oh, okay.
Look at some of these matches. Big Bubba and Road Warrior Hawk.
Big Bubba.
Big Bubba. No, 3 big matches for next week, including the cage.
Sabu.
From the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago, too. It should be a great crowd.
It'll be a loaded show.
Wow, sneaking into WWE territory right there, Rosemont.
And we've got Sting next week. If I recall, we haven't seen him wrestle on Nitro a whole lot.
I know. This is the first episode. The opener. Yeah, I think that's it.
Since the opener.
All right, let's do our awards, and we'll take a brisake. So, match of the night, I am going... Oh, man, there were a couple good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like the main, because I like the Pillman stuff at the end. I'm going with that. Flair Arn. Scott?
I like Flair. Yeah, I like Flair Arn. Just a notch above Dean and Eddie.
Glenn?
I am going to go with Dean and Eddie.
Okay. Jordan?
I will go with Glenn and go with Dean and Eddie.
All right, Greeny, break the tie.
Flair and Arn.
Greeny, you should have voted for Luger and Savage.
A lot of big matches. Jeez, what a good episode. All right, most WCW moment. We're going to go with the hole in the medic shirt.
Oh, yeah, the hole in the guy's armpit. Yeah.
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 It's pretty dreadful.
I think he might sweep the awards.
Most random appearance.
I mean, in a way, Disco Inferno, because his music hit and he came out, but he didn't actually wrestle.
Yeah, we didn't have any just like random, people show up that we weren't aware of already. So no.
Or Kevin Sullivan in drag. I don't know.
Well, that made sense in the story. I'd say Disco probably was a little bit more out there. I can't really think of anyone else. No one weird or out of the ordinary showed up. Most mid-90s person. We're going to go with the angry emo guy in the crowd.
Yeah, angry Phil Anselmo guy in the front row.
I do say you got to give honorary mention to the medic, though, because he had like that purplish 90s color.
Yes.
And a fanny pack.
You want to give him a tie, Scott? We'll give him a tie.
Yeah, we'll give him a tie.
All right, 1 to 10. Let's grade this show, Mr. Glenn.
Like you said, there wasn't a lot of fluff. Big matches and all pretty good. So I'll say, God, I don't know, 7.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 7 myself. A very good match, a very good show. A few good matches, like you said. And I think the only thing we're missing here on this episode was like a big shock or a memorable moment. It was just all very, very good. So that's why I'd settle in right around a 7, like Glenn there. So. What do you think, Jordan?
Oh, for me, the only thing missing was a Hogan match.
Yes, you have plenty of Hogan. Yes, Hogan all over the goddamn thing. All right, Jordan.
You know, I would probably give it right around what you guys say. Seven's fine with me. I think it's interesting, though, because this show is one that back in the day people would love to hate on WCW for because of, like, that limousine cutaway from an Eddie Dean match to show us Hulk Hogan showing up. You know, and I remember back at the time, people who were not fans of WCW would point to that as, like, why it sucks so bad. But, man, compared to the Raw rewatches that I've sat in on, this blows Raw away right now.
Yeah.
So I'd say a 7. I wouldn't say the first match was good, but 2 good matches. Third one wasn't terrible. Pretty good stuff.
Greeny?
I'm going to say a 7. A lot of star power, and I like how they ended the show hyping the steel cage match for next week.
Scott?
I say 7 as well. Solid, solid effort. A lot of in-ring work. So that's 35 and a half.
All right, so 7 so, is.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we take a break? We'll come back with 10-9-95, and maybe a little surprise as well.
Because? Last night I had the strangest dream. I sailed away to China in a little rowboat to find you, and you said you had to get your laundry clean. Promotional consideration paid for by the following. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Parv. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do.
so you better join myself and Will on the Goodwill Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly, longtime announcer with the WWE, now the voice of Ring of Honor Wrestling. No better place to be than right here on the Place to Be podcast. Make sure you tune in every week.
Steve Willie's never going to know what that joke is until he listens to the show later tonight. Steve Willie, welcome aboard, sir.
Hello. Is this Cher? What's going on?
Yes. You have to listen back right after this is posted to understand the Matthew Wilder joke here that we had. Actually, I think it was just my joke that I'm pushing on everyone. But here we are, placetobenation.com. We have a bunch of people involved in that site on with us tonight, and we're going to talk about it for a moment. Stephen Graham looked at the All Japan Excite Series number 3, did a podcast breaking that down. The Seinfeld rewatch series continued. Me and Greeny and Duncan. Oh, no, sorry. Greeny, I always think you're part of this because you're such a big Seinfeld fan and you help us promote it. I just assume you're in it. Me and Jordan, Andrew Flanagan, Aaron George looked at The Limo. As usual, Aaron had a much different grade than the rest of us, but
yes,
that's
much,
par
much
for
different.
The course for this thing. We'll see, because I actually think there's a couple of shakier installments and then an awesome one coming as we wrap up season 3 here in Seinfeld. A new NBA team podcast, Andrew Reich and Adam Murray looked at the first month of the NBA regular season, calling it November to remember it. But is it? Dan McGinn looked at this week's episode of Raw. Hard-traveling fanboys, the Longbook Hunters, studied Thor, the God of Thunder. God Bomb! Sounds exciting. Scott, what did you have on Extra Point this week? What happened there?
Dr. G and I talked about NFL Week 13 and a little college football, and then we had Joel Barnhart on to talk some hot stove, as next week is the winter meetings and free agents. And
if you want to hear guys break down whether those Saints have actually a chance to win the division, even though they're tied with the first-place Falcons, be sure to check that show out right there. MLB season wrap-up, Joel Barnhart wrapped a bow on this season, and of course he will be back to look at some hot stove stuff, and I think as you were saying, Scott, he joined you on the Extra Point as well there, so
yes,
yep. Be sure to check that out. We had a lot of Thanksgiving stuff last week as well, so if you want to go back and check that out, we had our Thanksgiving memories from TV and wrestling, had a new installment of The Friends, the one on the last night from Crystal Maxwell, and much, much more, and of course the coup de grace that we have going on right now. I don't know if I used that correctly, sounds it. Is the 90s greatest song of the 90s tournament. So as per the usual, we're going to go ahead and make our vote. So the hitch now is that because we've gained a lot of steam and it's going well and we want to get through the first round, we're going to be airing two pools a day. We started this on Sunday, right through the end of the first round. Every night at midnight, there will be two polls that go up. So be sure to vote in both of them each and every day. So here was Group FF. This is the first one that went up today. As always, I'll read the songs, and everyone but Steve Willie gets a vote of which of the five they want to move on. So, all right. Group FF, we have Adam Sandler with the Hanukkah song, TLC with Unpretty, Radiohead with High and Dry, Genuine with Same Old G, Bone Thugs and Harmony with Crossroads, Cake, The Distance, Days of the New, Shelf in the Room, Hootie and the Blowfish, Let Her Cry, Rage Against the Machine, Bulls on Parade, and Garth Brooks with Shameless. Speaking of Shameless, we'll let Scott Criscolo go first.
I'm going to pick one that I'm sure not many people thought I would, and that is Cake, The Distance.
Yeah. Okay. Jordan?
I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. See good. You at the crossroads.
So that's Radiohead, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the Hanukkah song, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Glenn?
I am going to say the Hanukkah song for real.
Okay, there we go. Greeny?
I'm going to take my boy Tom Morello and the boys of Rage Against the Machine.
You are assholes are going to make me pick between TLC and Hootie and the Blowfish, you un-American pieces of shit. You're all unpretty to me. I'm going to let you all cry, though, because I am taking Hootie and the Blowfish, let her cry. Hootie.
Good call.
I feel bad not taking Unpretty. But and those five we chose, gentlemen, are the top five right now. So there you go. We're in touch with our fans.
Oh, well, Hanukkah song gained a lot of votes since I saw it this morning.
Since you kept clicking on it, yes.
Clean cookies vote. Clean cookies vote.
Oh, no. Oh, they got a lot since I keep banging on the enter key for it. And I lied. FF was the second one to go up today. EE was the first. So we're going to look at those right now and cast one more vote. All right. We have Fastball with Out of My Head, Roxette, It Must Have Been Love, Everclear, Father of Mine, Mariah Carey with All I Want for Christmas Is You, Stin. Garbage, She Was a Stupid Girl, Goo Goo Dolls, Slide, Notorious B.I.G. with Juicy, Paula Cole, right. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, Metallica with Fuel, and Soul Asylum with Runaway Train. So, Scott, who do you like?
I could steal your thunder, but I will let you. I'll let you take it since that's your. Since I know what cut you'll take, so I'm going to have to take Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas Is You."
Stin, Glenn,
Stin.
I'll take Roxette, of course.
It Must Have Been Love. Jordan?
It's over.
It's over now.
I guess I got to leave this one for you too, Justin. So I'll take Runaway Train.
All right. Good choice.
Because it's never coming back.
Greeny?
Give me Fuel, Give Me Fire, Give Me That Which I Desire, Metallica.
Come on. All right.
We love to open for you. Come on.
Well, I got to take Juicy, but I think Fastball deserves a vote. I'm not voting for Metallica. I mean, to me, this bothers me, right? All right, so I'm going to put the votes in here, and I'm going to tell you guys the results before I punch a hole in the wall. So, Juicy is in sixth place, and I don't think people out there understand the importance of that song and the importance of Notorious B.I.G. to the rap and the music scene of the 90s. Now, I know there are a lot of people that just don't like rap and hip-hop, and I get it. You don't have to vote for every little, you know, Big Pun or whatever song you want. That's fine. You have to vote for Juicy because it's one of the most influential rappers and musicians of the decade, one of the most influential styles of the decade. I mean, the top styles of music in the 90s were hip-hop, rap, alternative, and then pop boy band. I mean, those are the big kinds. And for guys like Jason Greenhouse and all these other miserable bastards, picking Metallica's like 18th best song over Juicy is fucking absurd. I mean, it's like it's Enter Sandman. I mean, it's literally not even fucking Metallica fans like Fuel. You know, that's all I remember hearing was how much they suck, how much the album sucks, Fuel sucks, it all sucks. And all of a sudden we're going to take it over Notorious B.I.G.'s greatest song.
Look, I've been defending Juicy all
day. I know,
Greeny,
I love you. I'm talking about the other idiots out there. I mean, fucking A. Come on.
I think we just have a new bit for our next open.
182 people. 182 people have voted, and 75 have chosen Juicy. That
absolutely
is absurd.
Ridiculous.
Stupid Girl is in second, and it's fitting, because there's a bunch of stupid fucking people that are picking these songs over Juicy.
I don't even know what the Department of Health is.
Fucking Soul Asylum was where you all belong.
Hey, fucking it's up to 76 votes.
He wasn't counting himself.
Another vote.
He wasn't counting himself.
Get in there and vote. Absurd that Juicy's not in the top five. Absurd.
Stupid Girl's a great song, by the way.
It's fine.
That song is terrible.
But I mean, come on. Fuel? No one likes that fucking song. If you vote Fuel over Juicy, you're just being a dick.
This is what happens when you try to have people vote. This is what happens when you have democracy.
Oh, democracy sucks.
640 Juicies we should have had.
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy. Is that our next Please Be Nation?
Idiocracy. Live watch. Idiocracy live watch. That's what we're going to do. And it's
we
all going to be
have
about.
A vote for every great verse in that song.
Sly by the Goo Goo Dolls. It's another terrible song, though. 86.
Tune into round two to see if we give it a buy in over something we don't like.
Oh, it's getting a buy. Don't worry.
It's going to be Juicy and 9 Backstreet Boys songs. It's going to be there.
Is Chad also Backstreet ranking this thing then? Is that why?
Tune into round two to see how Justin's therapy appointment with Steve went after Juicy does not make it to the
Steve's
set.
The problem. Steve's the problem. That's the issue.
I'm the problem. I honestly. You want to get rid of me right
now?
If
you weren't on the
Lilith
Fair tour,
you don't know what Juicy is?
I have no idea.
Oh, you are the worst. I'm glad you're not coming to Philadelphia.
No,
I listened to it. I listened to it today when I was going through all the songs to vote. Did not make an impression.
See, he listened to it. He didn't even care.
It's so much
you
more
know what
than
I really think may be affecting its
racism.
Its vote. Yeah, that is. Oh, yeah. It's a song that when you hear the words to it, you don't equate it with the title. Does that make sense? Because there's not like a chorus or anything where it's singing the word juicy. It's one of those songs where like the title of the song isn't really like the hook or the catch line from it. You know what I mean? So people may not recognize that that's that song.
That is some real fucking spin you got going on, Jordan, but I don't buy it.
I voted for it.
That's why there's YouTube. That's why there's YouTube clips underneath.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Juicy. Notorious B.I.G. Biggest hip-hop star in the 90s. Biggest song.
Literally the biggest.
Biggest song. I think Big Pun was bigger.
Big Pun.
And Heavy D may have been bigger too, but
now Heavy D, I can vote for that.
I hate this whole thing. All right. You guys watch Nitro. I'm going to go punch a hole in the wall.
Why did we bring Steve on here?
Just to antagonize me, I guess.
It must have been love.
it's over now.
Over now.
It's definitely over now. Fucking rock set. All right.
God.
All right, is everyone ready for the stupid Nitro?
Deborah McMichael in the front row?
Kiss. All right, let me know when we're all queued up here. I'm going to pause my frame.
Glenn's going to like this one right from the start.
Just wait until they all open with Hogan in the building, Jordan. I mean. I'm going to... I'll count us in a minute here. Hang on. I'm also going to lay in juicy under this whole episode. Just for subliminal messaging. All right. We all paused. We all ready to go?
Yep. Yes.
All right. I'll count us in.
1 second. Oh, all right. I got it.
All right. 3, 2, Hogan. Oh, replay last week. I'm like, to do this again?
Like, I knew. Steve, I think that was Deborah McMichael.
Yeah. I was.
Wow.
No, I think you're right. I think she did start appearing in the crowd. Because I know she becomes a focal point soon. Flair starts like taunting her a lot.
Flashback to the mauling of Hulk Hogan's mustache.
With some nice wavy special effects.
As it was all a dream. It's
over. Fucking Willy doesn't know juicy.
I probably do if you played it for me. You need to do some deep breathing, man.
You deserve to hang out with Joe Wasson next summer. I would have said Reinhardt, but I don't wish that on anyone.
All right, tonight we are in, as mentioned in the last episode, we are in Chi-Town as Nitro invades Vince's Midwest satellite office. I'm surprised they weren't at the United Center. That was their baby.
Fuck all you hoes. Get a grip. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings.
I'll leave this here. Go ahead.
They're all wearing hair jerseys. No wonder Willie showed up for
this
episode.
This overlaps pretty well with the beginning of the episode.
He and his jersey tucked into his khakis is awesome. Not flattering on any level.
He's got the question mark.
And he doesn't even know what number he is.
Not flattering. Just awful.
I was at a bar about 3 weeks ago watching football on a Sunday, and there was at least 10 different people with jerseys tucked in. It is the worst look on anybody. Terrible. Well, I didn't realize that they were ever at the Rosemont Horizon. I thought they were straight at the UC all the time.
Yeah. Bischoff looks like a kicker.
Yeah, he does.
It's hit number one on the hot R&B and rap and hip-hop songs Billboard charts. Billboard Hot 100, 27.
Sting with the United States Championship. Maybe that's why he came back, to challenge Rusev.
VH1's number one hip-hop song of the 90s. But us? Nah, not even number one in this fucking group.
Although Sting just
screw VH1. What do they know about music?
Sting just said that he made the change from
McConnell. I prefer Aaron George's
vote. Now he's up close and personal with Robin Leach.
I prefer Aaron George's vote over VH1. So that makes a lot more sense to me. Fucking assholes.
Well, he's the one you asked for a vote from.
I never asked him directly.
Okay.
Steve, do you recognize the song yet?
out to the East Coast, condos and Queens.
No, I do. He's going to say no. That makes it even worse. Okay, good. Thank you.
I wish that was Shark's theme song.
He made the change some juice. From Earthquake to Shark.
Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis.
When Shark was dead broke, he couldn't picture this.
See? I mean, everyone's going to get mad because we're derailing Nitro talking about Juicy, but if you all just voted for it, this wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, come on, people.
It's everyone else's fault.
Everyone else. Well, it's not my fault that Juicy's losing. I know that. You're saying it's my fault, Dr. Willie?
It's victim mentality.
It's an obvious victim. It's not in the top five.
The Juicy victim.
Eric Bischoff said this is the place to be.
That is prick. Wow, these take forever for somebody to come out and literally.
Yeah,
it's like this was the theme of playing for like a minute. Jeez, Sting, he had to run all the way back from the.
We had to hear the cans bang together to open the song.
Yeah. Sting won the U.S. title in a tournament after he had it back in what, March or April, after Vader was stripped of it.
We'll have to track Sting's hair, too, as it changes over the next year. It's still in the pretty much a full blonde spike.
Yeah.
Just recently saw him in a UWF match against Cowboy Bill Watts, which was awful. And his hair was like kind of like this with the rat tail, but on the sides, it was just thick and sticking out. It was very bizarre look.
But did Sting ever wear the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match?
He just had the red and black tights on. Showing his support. Shark.
Track.
Looking very, very,
moving nicely.
Mobile.
What do you say, Glenn?
I was going to say, keeping track of the Hogan merch, we got quite a few shirts and Styrofoam Hogans on the camera side again.
Do
you think security collected them from the other fans when they left the arena and they just passed them out?
Denver?
Boy, all right, really guys, we're going to need those back.
Yeah. Boy, they really be stretched out by the time they get to the next city.
Well, at least here, they put them on a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
It's like the reverse of those Stinger splashes, kind of weird.
Because he wasn't like totally in the corner. It was really strange.
I think what's strange is Verizon now gives little descriptions, very in-depth descriptions on the... on their guide, right? So another great ACC Big Ten matchup. It's like, okay, thanks. I didn't realize we're in the review business now, Verizon.
Yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah. And the ACC is getting... And the ACC is getting mollywomped, too, because they're 0-5 so far in the challenge.
I think maybe Shark would do better if he added some more sharks to his trunks.
Yes.
Seven
on
or
top
eight
of the
just
47
enough.
That he already has.
Really try to hammer the gimmick home.
He's got like
no, he's a shark. Oh, like a pool shark? No, like a shark. Like in the water shark. Like the sand, like a hockey player? No. The things that eat people and jaws the shark.
Shock?
Shock? Shock Master?
He's a shack. No, that was his tag team partner. That was the Shack Master.
He's going to hit a shark wall.
Shark wall.
Glenn Butler personally edited this segment because we need to see it yet again.
I always get two crucify. Is that multiple crucifixes?
Crucifies!
That's another great Tori Amos song that should be in the top five.
Crucify.
That is a good song. It's not a Juicy song, but it is a good song.
It's definitely multiple crucifixes.
Seen his dad again.
Glenn Butler again.
When did it get crucibroken?
Where's the girl looks like? Is she coming?
She's
up?
Coming. She's coming right there in the red.
Ooh, it is pretty close.
I think it's her.
Shots take out Jimmy Hart.
He really lays him in.
By the way, that was Nick Patrick refereeing the first match.
Oh, mark it down.
Yes, I did say it. Yep.
Willie, we've begun tracking all referees because we're pretty sure Nick Patrick and Randy Anderson are the only ones they have right now.
Ever.
Man, they're how excited they're playing
think Kevin Sutherland was to do this.
They're playing the whole segment again.
Oh my god.
They want to make sure we saw it.
And there's Zodiac cheering the fact that something's about to happen rather than getting off his lazy ass and doing it.
Don't worry, Steve. Someone comes to the Hulkster's rescue soon.
Yes. And boy, do they get a pop when they get in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That dress is actually not a bad look for Sullivan.
Looks like it should be like in a like 1770s tour guide or something that leads you to the house.
Like Williamsburg or something.
Selling pies at a farmer's market.
Teaching us how to make candles and stuff.
Making pretzels.
And now this was John Adams' bedroom, but the funny thing is John didn't feel comfortable sleeping in the bed with Abigail, so he used to stay out on the couch. And that's why he wrote the Declaration of Independence.
And this guy here is a shark, in case you can't tell.
And this is Adolf Hogan. Right
Did
here.
You guys know John Adams and Thomas Jefferson were born on the same day and died on the same day?
And died on the same day.
Yes.
It's because they killed each other. Like Romeo and Juliet.
And I believe it was Adams who on his deathbed said, "Yet Jefferson lives."
And Jefferson on his deathbed said, "Vote for Juicy."
And they were like, "What?" And then 300 years later,
and both of them were wearing their comped Hulkster t-shirts.
Well, after they died, of course, some Randy Anderson came through and said, "Yeah, we're going to need those back."
Yeah, you're not going to need those anymore, are you? Sorry, Abigail, here's a do-rag.
Do you know they invented styrofoam just for Hulk Hogan?
Yes. Do you know who John Adams' fellow Federalist candidate was up against Jefferson and Aaron Burr?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who?
I don't know. Sabu?
Charles Coatsworth Pinckney.
Yep.
Sure.
That sounds like a wrestling name, like doesn't it?
Yes.
Sounds like someone that would like be an ally of Jervis Cottonbelly.
You're going to get Willie's Cottonbelly all excited.
You are. Jervis Steve, on Team Chikara for
you're
the finale.
You're going to get Cottonbelly's Willie all excited.
Is Steve our sound guy or is it Jason?
I think it's Steve.
It's Steve. Yeah, I got it.
Does Sabu have theme music?
He's got a huge crowd reception. I didn't hear any theme music. No, I was listening to you guys, but no, I did not. They're not even talking about him.
Okay.
They're talking about the sumo trucks.
Oh,
are they talking about John Adams?
Yeah, my vote for most 90s, by the way, is that kid with the slicked hair and the big baggy Blackhawks sweatshirt.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No joke. That looked like Justin Roberts.
That was Justin Roberts. I watched this episode.
Oh, wow.
When they released all the Nitros, and I actually tweeted that to him, and he retweeted it. And I'm guessing that's him.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Is he from Chicago?
He's from Chicago, yeah.
Had to be him.
He I guess he trained with Punk and Chris Hero and all those guys. He was a referee for a while, yeah.
I wonder if he used a referee cam.
Speaking of referees, Randy Anderson doing this one here.
Okay. So for the evening, 5 matches, 3 by Nick Patrick and 2 by to see who gets more work.
This is absolutely ridiculous that this match is taking place on WCW in 1995.
Mm-hmm. It's buried in the middle of the show. Like nothing.
I'm pretty sure these two fought each other at Havoc the same year.
Was Havoc
I know Sabu was on Halloween Havoc.
Hey, I don't think Sabu was on Fall Brawl.
He was on Halloween Havoc. And I'm pretty sure it was against Mr. JL.
Mr. JL.
He drops the Mr. at some point, right? This becomes JL.
Yeah, and then he gets a B somewhere.
So there's
BJL?
BJ. Yep. LBJ, I think.
This is a kind of a typical Chicago crowd, you know, that we've become accustomed to nowadays. Chanting hugely for Sabu and then chanting Hogan sucks over and over again.
Ingrates.
Yes.
What they're actually
they're chanting at the
is,
children.
What they're actually chanting is, "Where's our comps? Where's our comps?"
Sabu with a nice spin kick, and now a nice somersault senton.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was definitely a Halloween Havoc in Detroit because Sabu came out with the Sheik.
Ooh, that's right.
And then the Sheik threw the after the match, the Sheik threw the fire in Sabu's face in Mr. JL's face.
He's got Sheik written on his armband tonight.
He needs Enforcer written in script on his pants.
Yes, on his butt.
Sabu's been pretty impressive here. A nice leg lariat. Because even the last time, remember we were impressed with his match? It was more of an actual structured match, and he's doing it again here, I think. Not the usual shit shows we're used to in ECW.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not slipping or tripping all over stuff.
Falling over stuff and running around in a circle, and
Yeah, nice springboard leg lariat off a chair on the floor. Now back in the ring with JL. Nice German from JL as well.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Mm.
Good little match.
Match of the night so far.
I'm going to pretend that was
Germans. Speaking of Germans, where's Hulk and his mustache? It's been 15 minutes since we've seen him.
I want to know what that noise from Glenn was. It sounded disapproving when we were talking about this match.
Don't worry. I'm sure they're going to interrupt this match to show him arriving in a limo again.
You will not take the championship.
There it is.
He's going to come with a red and yellow helmet with a spike sticking out the top.
What will you do?
Take back those t-shirts.
Speaking of all this... Speaking of all this, you guys should check out the Seinfeld rewatch series. I looked at the limo, heavy Nazi feature in there.
Speaking of Nazis, he's going to come out with Baron von Raschke.
Baron Karl Krupp
starts goose stepping into the big boot and then the leg drop.
Goose stepping in the boot.
Nice hanging DDT. Sabu was on the top rope and Lynn spiked him to the mat. Really nice move. Had to concentrate a lot there.
Ooh.
Steve, do you remember that Superman comic? I think it was called Red Sun, where it was like, what if Superman landed in Russia?
Yes. Yeah.
They should run an angle with that with Hogan. Like, what if he was German?
I am a real German-American.
Mr. JL does not
I
go
am a real
Rana.
Aryan. Fight for the rights of Aryans.
Fight for your life. Fight for the white.
Fight for the right.
Fight for the right.
Fight for the white. Fight for the right.
By the way, Sabu won, if anybody cares.
So much flooding my mind right now. I just can't say. Nice power bomb off the apron. This is a really good match.
It's over. This is all post-match stuff.
I know, but that's what I'm counting.
Wow. This is the first show I've done with Glenn, and it is not disappointing.
See, even those guys are stunned at what we're singing right now.
I've been taking an excuse to do my crappy German accent. It gives me pleasure. Mongo does not like this.
I think this evening alone of the Place We Podcast is already our new open by episode 400. I don't think anyone's going to come close to this.
Oh, no.
It's weird seeing Bobby in any like athletic gear. I've never seen him in anything else. In football shirt, it just looks strange. Maybe that's why he's tucking it in, because he's probably never worn one before.
I see Sting in the ring in the background, and it looks like, is that Bobby Eaton getting in the ring? It's interesting.
Yeah, what's this all about?
It looks like Sting and Luger.
Oh, look, Luger.
Is it Luger? Mm. Okay.
Or Bobby Eaton on steroids.
I thought it was, well, because he's got a robe on. Oh, no, it's a hideous suit, I think.
Hmm. I don't know, Luger.
Is Bishop more of a kicker, or is he Doug Flutie? You throw the two on him instead of the one.
Lex is ready to go boating after this.
I know, right?
What is that?
He has got the shoulder pads.
Oh my god. That's like the outfit that Rotundo wore when he was he Captain Mike or whatever?
Yeah.
Like 88 or whatever. At 90.
I didn't bring any street clothes. Hang on, let's go dig out Captain Mike's jacket. Throw that on.
We got some Hogan shirts if you want to wear that.
Lex has my vote for most 90s look.
I'm guessing
in the
Savage is coming up. What is that?
Whoa.
Let's say something my older sister would wear. Like, she loves the fucking leopard print.
Holy
fucking
Jesus.
Peggy looks Bundy like over here.
Sherry Martel made Macho Man's outfit.
Like he stole something off a couch.
Did you guys know Peggy Bundy is going to be playing Vinny Pazienza's mother in the Vinny Pazienza movie that's coming out?
Really? Katie really? Sagal?
Wow. That's what I was told today at the barbershop.
Wow.
With my man Pop.
Savage Buddy in the front row on the front side there, near side.
That is a very garish outfit.
That is a very 90s Kansas City Chiefs t-shirt there. In the
yes, it is. That one.
Very 90s Chiefs shirt right there. You can see, you're starting to get a taste now. You can start to slowly see Sting ditching the dye. You're slowly starting to see his hair getting a little darker. The roots are coming in.
Can you see a bald spot yet?
Damn you. Be a real fan. No. Yeah, he looks like, right now, Savage looks like he owns a strip club. That's what he really looks like now.
I want the side of the head to say, oh yeah.
I think he looks more like a stripper than someone that owns a strip club.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm taking the bada bing. Oh, God.
No. Mean Gene's the owner.
Yes.
Yes.
Luger's the bathroom attendant.
Yes.
Want some gum?
He's the bathroom attendant. He's not even the bouncer.
Yes. Of course, this whole thing is Sting's allegiance to either the quote-unquote good guys or to his buddy Luger, who I'm not sure where he's coming from. This would be the beginning of a storyline that is almost 3 years long if you overlap it into the NWO, that Sting was, for some reason, even though he was the face of this company, was never trusted by anybody for some strange reason.
Well, it made sense that Savage didn't, because outsider coming in doesn't know whether or not to trust him. Is Luger's allegiance, you know, there because they were former friends? And I mean, we have plenty of Nitros to get to before we get to the end of the year, but I know Scott Keith had been reviewing these, and one thing he kept mentioning is that he can't understand why they would not do Hogan and Savage against Sting and Luger at Starrcade to blow this all off. I mean, that would have been a huge main event match.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I know it partially had to do with Hogan's contract being up, but still.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Hogan was even on Starrcade 95, was he?
No, I think his dates were up, yeah.
That was like the three-way.
His contract was up already? What, was he signed for a year and a half?
No, his he had like a limited set number of dates he had to be on, and then after that they had to pay more.
Yeah, that was the World Cup. I watched that today. That was the World Cup pay-per-view where there were seven matches with New Japan. And then
the triangle match.
The triangle match, right, for the number one contender.
Yeah, and then the
winner
of
that fought Savage at the end of the night.
But, the weird thing to me is that they build and build, and we'll see it. They build this feud up so much, and then we never really get like a payoff to the four guys.
Mm.
Well, every single episode that we've watched, and again, I didn't see the last one, but every single one we've had some sort of yapping in the ring between the three or four of the three guys.
I mean, it became such a running joke, too. Like, I think it legitimately goes into 96, until Hogan kind of takes his break.
Got a limo pulling up.
Oh, yeah, another limo here.
This is going to be great.
It's a black one, though, so it can't be Hogan.
I think this is...
I know who this is.
I know this is, too. I believe it's Benoit.
Yep.
I believe this is Benoit's limo. Look at this guy. Benny. Oh, jeez. Couldn't fit in these pants.
And this is nowhere even remotely near the Rosemont Horizon, by
Look
the way.
Look at that mullet. Wow.
Yeah, it's a good mullet.
That's flowing in the breeze.
Where the big boys play. Edmonton. That's probably where that shot was.
This is clearly his debut, or re-debut. Of course, he had been on in a little bit of 92 and 93.
Yes. He had a really good match with Scorpio at
Super Brawl.
Super Brawl.
Super Brawl 3.
Yep.
By the way, I just watched The Clash from January 93. That whole Scorpio music video is the most absurd thing in history.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it awesome?
The fat lady walking down the street. Everybody, here comes Scorpio.
Too cold.
We're going to school. Are you taking us? No, we're going to step.
Now, can we vote for that song in the 90s tournament?
Yes, it's in there.
Awesome. I'd probably vote for it over Juicy. The most influential hip-hop song of the 90s.
Yeah, I would say.
She was about the size of Notorious B.I.G., that woman that was walking on.
She was very juicy.
Yeah. All right, is Disco just dancing again, or are we actually going to have a match here?
Wow, this is dreadful.
I love
get
it.
Get to the end of the ramp, for God's sakes.
That was a hell of an overlay right there, though, with the disco ball and him.
The whole lighting thing, at least, though, fit for him.
Like they cut his music again.
Yeah, so I'm guessing he's not wrestling again. He's just here to dance. Bischoff was on the radio.
Bischoff was claiming he's not on the roster, despite the fact that we saw him a couple
JBC
weeks ago.
Box?
Yeah, he had a match, didn't he, Steve?
Yeah.
It was a tryout, I guess.
Big Bubba.
Here's a combination. I don't dance. Disco Inferno and the Boss Man.
Yeah, Big Bubba's looking at him like, I don't dance.
Does Bubba have his awesome music here, Steve?
No, they're still playing the Disco Inferno song.
I used to love the Big Bubba theme.
Yes, Big Bubba theme was cool, but this is taking way too long. All right, Hawk, throw him into the logo. He gets hurt because I don't think he's on pay-per-view by the end of the year. I don't think he is anyway.
He's still always dressed in all white, so Hawk might think he can snort him. I'm sorry, that was a bad joke.
Hawk has no shits to give about this.
No, he really doesn't.
Disco's giving him some free comp merchandise there. Putting the WCW hat on his spike.
Very strange. I don't know where ammo went. Ugh, that hat is hideous. Most 90s, that hat.
Yeah, the WCW purple and yellow hat.
Yeah.
That's a badass fucking theme music right there.
It is. Big Bubba.
No trouble.
We've had a straight up rotation so far, JR. We went from Nick Patrick first match, Pee Wee second match, back to Nick Patrick here. So, straight up rotation. Big Bubba. Looking like Amish roadkill when he would wear the straight black pants. Sure.
One of my guilty pleasure tag teams was him and Danny Doring.
And Danny Doring, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're great. Chickens.
Thought he was going to kiss him. What's cup shirts, too? Hey, that one's good. Wow, look at that little corner there. You could tell none of them bought that. Hey, look, it's Hogan.
This is like the reverse of the Universal. Is it the Disney Studios or Universal Studios where they were doing the WCW?
Yeah, it was Nitro's Disney, I think.
At Disney, yeah. When they had all the old folks sitting in the front row?
Yes.
After the reverse of that.
After the blue plate dinner hour. Yes.
Roll the scooters up and watch a little wrestling. Now they got the kids in the front row. Obviously all plants. Or just moved up. It's always bizarre to see like one of the Road Warriors in a singles match. Mm-hmm.
Disco wants some more spotlight. Hawk does not appreciate this.
No. Not in Hawk's hometown.
Is Disco Inferno's shirt most 90s? That doesn't even look like a disco shirt. That definitely looks like a shirt for the mid-90s.
I still don't think that's as 90s as that hat.
That hat. Yeah, that hat is pretty awful.
Savage's outfit. It's up there.
I don't know. Yeah. That's most 70s.
What about Luger's? I thought Luger's outfit we had.
Luger's.
I think Savage's is more timeless than anything.
That is true. Luger's outfit, most 1990.
Yeah.
Most likely to be working on a cruise ship.
Yes. It looks like Big Bubba won by count out because Hawk chased him.
Kind of a pointless match all around.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking they must have just brought Hawk out because it's in Chicago.
Yeah.
I am very surprised, Willie, that they did go to Rosemont. I thought there was an exclusivity thing. Maybe there wasn't. Maybe it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. And it's a fairly decent crowd there, decent sized. There was an area where they're doing production, there was a lot of seats open, but you probably got a good 12,000 there, I'd say.
Jimmy Hart wearing a more dour outfit tonight.
Very dour. And Glenn, how do you feel about Hogan and Black?
I don't like Hogan and Black. because Hogan in Black. I especially don't like Hogan in Black because now he's a Nazi.
I was so wondering where you were gonna go with that.
Oh, Justin Roberts getting some more airtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's change it.
Okay.
At least Gene's mustache is appropriate for Hulk, I guess.
Oh, why does his neck brace have to match his clothes this time? That you should be upset at, Glenn.
Hogan in Black is leg dropping me.
How long until his mustache
for the one,
goes,
two, three.
This is creepy.
It is weird. And I like how he's all serious, like in like knows the dark side because he had his mustache.
And then he
shave.
Starts talking.
But even just like the way he's looking, like this like scowl, like oh, I'm grizzled and angry now. I've been wronged.
He's deep in mourning.
See, the real reason I don't really appreciate Hogan in Black, and we're gonna get to this with the NWO, and we're gonna take 7 years to watch the NWO stuff. But Hogan to me is an absolute point. He is red and yellow. He is the face of virtue. And to have that compromised meant something for the audience at the time, and that's great. And if you were watching as a kid at the time and you liked it, I'm glad for you. But for me, he is one absolute fixed point. The one that we get in this world that is fallen and broken. But we have Hogan. He's an aspirational figure.
He's the Antichrist.
I do spot a denim jacket with buttons on it right above Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
Right next to the fly shirt. That's pretty 92.
Yeah, that fly
Michael Jordan fly shirt.
I'm trying to think of a t-shirt. The guy with the jean jacket I was underneath. It looks very... I don't know if it'll open a little more. Incidentally, Willie, the crowd that night was 8,500.
Wow. It's lower than I thought it was.
But only 44.58 paid. So even when they started Nitro, not everybody was freebies.
The kid, you know, the kid in front of Jean Jacket looks to be wearing maybe a Kangol hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a jersey. It's probably a Bulls jersey, but it could be a Bullets jersey.
Where are you getting 4,000?
I think it's Bulls.
Yeah, where are you getting 4,000? That's definitely a Bulls jersey.
HistoryWWE.com. Graham has...
No, I believe you. I'm just How do that many tickets, like, where do those get distributed
by? Radio.
I know.
Radio.
Probably up front. I don't know, yeah.
Freebies for house show? Yeah. Maybe they were passing them out at the
if
last time.
If you bought a copy of Mein Kampf, you would get it free.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Here's my one...
you need to get it out.
Turn in a Jew and you get a ticket. It's a good thing Willie's here and Glenn, so I can say whatever I want.
So you got your tokens?
I got my Jew friends here, so we're good.
Yes. Yeah.
You guys are cool with it, right?
Jewish, so.
Oh, good lord.
That side beats is totally fine.
This
with
is
it.
More offensive to me.
Yeah.
Giant. I look at Zodiac hanging out the top of the monster truck.
Looks like they could be in Wisconsin with people hanging out the side of a pickup truck like that.
Seriously. We
got Sullivan in the red and yellow.
That's right. Isn't that weird?
Fucking he's Italians, you know, guys? It's fucking
he's
Italians. Hey, oh. Fucking assholes.
I'm Guido's.
This is so funny. The giant monster truck with everybody sticking out of it.
How many weeks did they haul these things to?
I would love to see them like in line at Burger King ordering.
Yes.
Excuse me.
And like, did you say
Big Mac? What? Big Mac? What? Big Mac? What? This is Burger King. Big Mac? What?
Zodiac staring into the thing like they could see him.
And like knowing the Rosemont Horizon, like I do at this time, like there's just a giant parking lot, and like a couple, some apartments, and like some abandoned warehouses. So like the thought that the monster truck had to be like driven in these little alleys to get to that place just cracks me up.
Machine versus machine.
So dumb.
Like, whose idea was this monster truck thing?
Bischoff's.
Hogan's.
Was it Bischoff? Was it a Sullivan thing? Like,
seems like a Hogan thing, honestly.
It seems like a Hogan Bischoff.
Like, they thought that people were going to pay money to see this.
Well, Jordan was there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that his other made-up shows?
Did not pay a cent.
No, there's a comp ticket.
Where really, who'd you turn in?
Let me go.
Dean Malenko.
Oh, God. You guys.
Oh, and yeah.
Vote for Juicy.
The monster truck.
Fucking Canadians.
The monster truck thing was the night before. It wasn't even live. I think they shot it the night before.
Do you feel ripped off, Jordan, of your free ticket that you didn't get to see the sumo match?
Yeah, now I do. 20 years later.
Jordan's going to be outside the box office tomorrow. Hey, guys, you know, can I get that money back?
Listen, I appreciate the mummy rape, but...
Mummy rape.
Back at the desk.
There's Bear Betty.
He got his little Bears outfit on. That's an old school helmet. Kind of like the Cleveland Indians logo, though.
Yes. What are these clowns?
Cops are
poor
here.
Poor dog is shaking.
Are they arresting
Bischoff? Excuse me, sir. You're actually not allowed to wear those. You look too silly in them.
Look at that turtleneck. It's awful.
For you, some Dutch kicker.
It would be awesome here is if they just showed like Hawk pummeling Disco Inferno behind them.
And we got Arn already in the ring again.
Yeah, he just never gets entrances, does he?
Well, he's got no music. I guess there's when he's not in a faction, Arn has no theme. When he was in the Dangerous Alliance, Stud Stable.
Stud Stable had awesome music.
Now, Steve, did the cops alert Eric Bischoff to the monster truck? Is that what that was?
That they're going to be keeping Hogan and the Giant apart for the rest of the evening.
That they're
going
to tow the monster truck and impound it.
Yeah,
those two guys.
The Dungeon of Doom were actually swinging by Burger King, and they wanted to ask Bischoff what he wanted, so they sent security to...
It's a bizarre episode, guys. It's a very bizarre episode.
Yes.
Are we already at the main event?
This is it, buddy.
Yeah. Yep.
This show flew by.
Time flies when you're having fun.
When you're talking about Nazis for 25 minutes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, not enough people talk about Nazis. Flair with the all purple on, turning the clock back to 92.
Arn with two-tone tights on.
I do like those, the black and the silver, or gray.
Some guy was holding up a TBS sign, even though Nitro was on TNT.
That's the wrong channel, Dave.
Still a Turner brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So four matches tonight, JR, and exact split duty. Two Pee-wees and two Nick Patrick.
I'm telling you, that's all they had at this point.
Yeah. Now, Steve, since you weren't here with this first one, Ric Flair beat Arn Anderson in the main event of the last Nitro, and then Brian Pillman attacked him immediately.
Oh, wow.
Which is why they're in a cage.
That is the nicest thing Jordan's ever said. No mean comment, no being an asshole, just nicely.
So nice.
Also, I hate you.
Yeah, well, it's
no enforcer.
It was a good run.
No enforcer on the back of Arn Stites for this match.
No.
Looks like the cage isn't that well put together.
I know.
No, but it's not very tall either.
Yeah.
Like the slap together TV.
Help put the cage together. Get a free Hogan T-shirt and sit in the front row.
Yes. Look at it. It's all like not even
together. It's all cockeye. I mean, I think they even have it a little off the apron because it's so short. They probably don't want it to be any shorter. I mean, they're almost at the top of it, their heads.
They had it hanging, so they
They brought it down, realized they weren't prepared to put it together, and made an announcement. You know, does anyone have a screwdriver?
Phillips head.
Yeah.
Wow, Arn pulls out the spinebuster early in this bout. I like competitive matchup. Oh, speaking of, let's see what was going on.
Oh, good.
Monday Night Raw. Which was also taped, I think, on that same night that the one night before was taped. So,
Now, were they on directly opposite each other or not yet at this point?
Not. I thought Nitro was 8 to 9.
Yeah, Raw was 9 to 10.
That sounds right.
All right.
But I don't know, because Bischoff, when he was giving the results away, said don't bother flipping over. So maybe Nitro was 9 to 10.
All right, let's see. Davey Boy Smith, Owen Hart, and Yokozuna defeated Diesel, Shawn, and Undertaker at 11:46 when Smith pinned Diesel after Diesel sustained a leg drop from Yoko.
Yeah, that was the big match where the heels beat the shit out of the faces, and when Taker, they broke his orbital bone. Mabel leg dropped him.
Yep. After the match, Diesel, Michaels, and Taker were beaten up.
Epic story.
The in-swing brawl, Taker suffered
it's
a broken
the story as old as time, Glenn.
And only one other match on that night, Fatu pinned Skip.
That song didn't make it to the top five yet either.
Song as old as
Peebo Bryson, one of the most influential soundtrack artists of the 90s.
Tale as old as time.
I like the ones that cover him better. Right, Scott?
Yoko crushed my face.
All right, I got to go punch a hole in a wall now.
Wonderful duets.
Do you think Arn and Flair, they knew they'd probably never feud again, so they tried to squeeze as many matches out of them as they could in this month?
Yeah, they're going like 150% like speed here.
He's like, all right, guys, you're going to get four matches over the course of this next month. Go at it. And Flair's like just coked up out of his mind right now, flying around the ring.
Jesus Christ. He is a mess.
I love Flair strutting in the middle of the match. That's always great.
But that's like the super coke strutting right there.
They get the energy out.
Yeah.
He's like the dog in Something About Mary when he's on the fucking speed. He's bouncing all around.
In the suave purple getup.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pillman.
Purple haze, babe.
Doing a hell of a job scaling that cage.
Pillman taking advantage of the weaknesses of the cage.
It squeezes the between
side
the openings.
Didn't collapse.
This double axe handle from Flair. I'll tell you, these guys definitely had, I mean, you figure they would, but confirmed. They have very good chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
Even these TV sprints have been very good.
Flair went to the top rope and hit a move.
Mm-hmm.
For guys who are used to going like 60 minutes back in the day, you know, when they hear they have to do a 7-minute cage match.
I know, right? This ball's out.
Get all your stuff in. You got 7 minutes.
What did he hit him with to win? Was it a weapon? Or did he just actually just punch him in the face and win? Or did I miss something?
It looked like he put something in his tights.
Okay.
Probably
yeah.
Knocks.
But they didn't call it at all. Now they are.
Oh, good. I'm glad Arn won, because that Flair won that last one clean. He needed to get a win here. Here we go. That was a replay. I always love the running start Flair gets for the figure four. Backs up a little bit and charges into it. Oh, yeah. He had the knocks on his hand. Good little match. I enjoyed it. Another really good show in ring-wise.
Mm.
Yes.
Not as strong as the first one, but that Sabu match is really good, and this one was really good.
I wonder if Pillman was really relishing his opportunity in the Horseman, or if he was just legitimately batshit crazy at this point.
I don't think he was really crazy.
He must have just relished
the Flair might be really crazy.
Well, Flair
like,
also
like stomped onto the set off the lower step.
Taking it right
take that away from you, Dutch kicker.
Did he break the headset?
He broke the headset.
Jeez,
I remember watching
He's
this.
Really mad
episode.
About Juicy, I think.
I remember watching
Star just pissed off.
Arn, you vote for Juicy.
If I catch you voting for fastball, Arn Anderson.
Puffy, just got hit in the face with brass knuckles. His recovery was just as much on speed as the match was. He's getting in the face knocked out with brass knucks, and he's going crazy. So Flair challenged both Pillman and Anderson to a handicap match next week.
There you go. So it looks like they're wrapping up here. So why don't we wrap up with our awards? We'll start with Scott, your match of the night.
Oh, I tell you, that Sabu JL match was really good. For as short as it was. What was the second match? The match after the... that one was really good. The one after...
Well, Sting.
It's Sting and Bubba.
Sting and Bubba. What was the second
Sting and Shark?
No,
Sting and Shark. I'm sorry, Bubba.
Bubba and Hawk.
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 No.
Sabu, JL, and then the main event, right? Was that it?
Yeah. Okay. I kind of liked Sabu and JL. I thought that was a good match.
That's my choice too. How about you, Steve?
I will do that as well. Sabu and Mr. JL.
Glenn.
I'll keep it rolling with Sabu.
Jordan.
I'll be the jerk, and I'll vote for the main event.
You are a jerk.
You
should all listen to the main event on Place to Be Nation.
About time you did something right.
Greeny?
We'll be pushing Paula Cole.
Sabu and JL.
All right, Sabu and JL it is. Most WCW moment. Jordan.
Oh, I got that one.
Go ahead.
Not making sure their cage fit around their ring.
All right, I'll go with that, too. That's a good one.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah.
Most random appearance. Did we have one?
Benoit.
Yeah, that was pretty random, right?
Yeah, it just,
Benoit was pretty random. Hawk was a little random.
Yeah, Hawk was random, too.
Hawk, too.
I'll tie it. Let's go tied.
Can't say Disco since he was just on doing the same
thing. I'll say Benoit Hawk. There's a tie there. Benoit Hawk.
Benoit.
Most 90s, Hawk. Justin Roberts with his Blackhawk shirt.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I although honorable mention for that really hideous WCW hat. Pretty
and Luger's outfit as well.
Luger's Captain Mike outfit.
Yeah.
All right, overall grade, Mr. Willie.
What was on your 7 for the last match? You had the Malenko Guerrero and you had a Flair Anderson there?
Yep.
Yep.
I'll go 6.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to go too. I think it's just one step behind last week. So 6 for me too. How about you, Willie? I mean, Jordan.
I don't know. I feel like this one flew by, so I don't want to.
Was that the show or us?
Yeah. I don't want to give it a lower grade because, I mean, the JBL, or not the JBL match, the Sabu and Mr. JL match, and the main. I'll give this one a 7 too. I'll just stick with 7.
All right, Greeny.
I'm going to say a 7.
Glenn?
I'm going to go with a 6 as well. I just want to note, and right at the end, they showed a hype picture for Benoit and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
So that's next something to look forward to next time.
We'll talk about that in 2015 next time we do this. Who hasn't gone yet? Scott, have you?
I'll say 6.5. It was a good episode, slightly less than last week, but still, you know, 4 matches in 40-something minutes, pretty solid.
All right, so what do we have? A couple
a
7s.
6, 7, 7. About 6.5.
Okay, we'll go 6.5. Good enough. All right, there you go. 2 more Nitros in the books. I thought these were definitely our best 2 episodes so far. I mean, the first one was fun. The last couple were a little shaky, but I think these 2 here were very, very strong. Anyone agree, disagree there?
I definitely agree. I agree. 7 match. I mean, if you added up, you know, 90 minutes of time and 7 matches, that's pretty good. Not much
and 2 fun. Referees.
And 2 referees. And... And not enough Hogan.
Yes, never enough Hogan. So, all right, we are out. Scott, we're back tomorrow night with No Mercy 2003. Be interesting to chat about that show. And then next week, we are off next week. The week after, we're back with some such or some other. I don't know what it is. I think it's a Raw. We've got Raw on Monday that week, and then Kevin, a main event that week as well, I believe, right?
We'll see about main event. We actually have main event next week.
Okay, and then nothing the week after.
So we'll see if there'll be a main event the week after. But there's definitely main event next week. So.
All right, well, we're out. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Thanks, guys. To everyone, take care. Have a good night. Goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen.
El Juse.
Or no, wait.
So who's in for a live watch of Schindler's List next week?
Good night, everybody.